Okay. So welcome on this Sunday, May 24th, to the Myerstown Church of the Brethren. This is a good Sunday for us to come together to worship. This Sunday, next Sunday are important days in the life of the church. But as we come to this time, just a couple announcements to share with you. You might have seen in the news that next Friday, Lebanon County is moving to yellow, and the governor has announced that. Just stay tuned, and you'll be hearing some things from the church. Watch your emails on how we're going to proceed with schedules coming up. Also, Monday night, tomorrow night, we are going to have Bible study. That'll be at 7 o'clock. And again, the details are in your weekly announcements that came, midweek announcements that came, and also in the bulletin email. So you're still welcome to join us. If you haven't before, you're still welcome. Well, as I said, today and next Sunday are important days in the life of the church. Today is Ascension Sunday, and next Sunday is Pentecost Sunday. I find myself guided in my planning by these two important days. Yet also, as an American, one of these two Sundays often coincides with Memorial Day weekend, as it does this weekend. My father was a World War II veteran, Navy veteran. He served in the Pacific Theater on the island of Guam, and I've appreciated and honor his service. I also know he was a dedicated follower of Jesus, and his faith and commitment to the church has inspired my own. So today, as followers of Jesus, our worship will focus on the account of Jesus' ascension into heaven and what it meant for the followers of Jesus then and what it means for the church today. So while I encourage you to honor the service of those who have served this nation, I invite you now to a time of worship, worshiping the risen and ascended Jesus who sits at God's right hand as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Would you pray with me? God of incredible surprises, as we gaze into the clouds, remind us that we are standing on holy ground. Place our feet on the pathways of peace and hope. Draw our attention from the vision of the Lord rising to the heavens to be with you, and help us to focus on the ministries that you would have us do. Keep us ready and willing always to serve you all of our days. Amen. As we come into worship, hear the words of Paul to the church as Winston Fouch reads for us.
Ephesians 1:15 to 23. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, and for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks to you. As I remember you in my prayers, I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of our heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to give which he called you, and what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe according to the working of his great power. God put his power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet, and has made him the head over all things of the church, which is his body, the fulfillment of him who fills all in all.
Thank you.
Acts 1:6-14. So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom of Israel?" He replied, "It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father had set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. When they had entered the city, they went to the room upstairs where they were staying, Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas son of James. All these were constantly devoting themselves to prayer, together with certain women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, as well as his brothers.
For the children this morning, and if you're watching on the video and they're not gathered around, you might want to get them and gather them around this morning. So I want to talk this morning about a race. When my children were in middle school and high school, they were on the track team, and they ran races. And you probably have too. Maybe you've had races when you were at school, off times this time of year, not happening this year, obviously, but schools would have field days with races. And one particular kind of race is called a relay race. And in a relay race, there's a baton. You might be seeing a picture on your screen now of a baton and racers with a baton. And in a relay race, one runner must hand that baton off to the next runner who runs their part of the race. And then they hand it off, and that runner takes it and runs the next part of the race. I think there's usually four runners in a relay race. Well, that baton and handing off the baton is a little bit like what happened in a scripture I want to share with you this morning. It's from the book of Acts. You might have heard Weston read that, but there's one verse in that I'd like to share with you, and it's the ninth verse the eighth verse, where it says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Jesus had ascended into heaven, and he was leaving the disciples. And what he was doing here was kind of like a relay race. He was passing the baton on to the disciples. He was telling them now it's their turn to do the work that he had been doing. And that's what has happened down through almost over 2,000 years. The baton has been handed to different people. And right now, Jesus' baton has been handed to us. We're the ones that are in his church now. We are the ones responsible for being Jesus' witnesses, to share the story of Jesus. So as you grow, and as you get a little bit older, and you learn more about the stories of Jesus, that baton's going to be passed on to you too. And it'll be your job as a follower of Jesus to take Jesus' story and pass it on to those around you. And someday you'll be passing that baton on to another generation also. Let's have a prayer together. God, we thank you for these children, and that they have come together this morning to learn about you and to grow in their knowledge of you. And Father, we pray that when the time comes that they will take up the baton, they will take up Jesus' mission and share it as they go about their lives as well. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the opportunity we have to share his story. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Whenever you take an extended trip, you probably need to take care of some details before you leave. Maybe you have to arrange for someone to water your plants, check your mail, take care of your pets, and more. Jesus had been on earth for 33 years. With his death and resurrection, he had completed his earthly ministry. And for 40 days following his resurrection, he was taking care of some last-minute details. The book of Acts was written by Luke, the same Luke who wrote the Gospel of Luke. And as the book of Acts opens, Luke says that in his first book, he had written about what Jesus did and taught from the beginning of his life and ministry up until the day he was taken up into heaven. Well, during those 40 days between his resurrection and ascension, Jesus gave instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He assured them of the reality of his resurrection by presenting himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, the scripture says. He appeared to them and spoke about the kingdom of God. Jesus ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit. He taught them about the priority of his kingdom. He promised the arrival of the power of God for their lives and future ministry when the Holy Spirit would come upon them not many days from now. Jesus signaled for them the completion of his earthly ministry as he ascended into heaven. And through the testimony of two men in white robes, he promised he would return the same way they had seen him go into heaven. For the disciples, that 40th day began with them asking Jesus a question that had been nagging them ever since they heard his teaching of God's kingdom, that God's kingdom was at hand. They asked, "Lord, is this the time you will restore the kingdom to Israel?" That was a good question, not just because of Jesus' teaching about the kingdom of God, but also because hundreds of years earlier, the prophets spoke of the time when God would keep his promise to his people and establish his reign. Jesus' answer was probably not what they were expecting. He told them, "No, not now. And it's not something you really need to know. But here is what you do need to know. That you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And then Jesus was taken up into the clouds before their very eyes. This past Thursday, 40 days following our celebration of Jesus' resurrection, was Ascension Day. And throughout the Christian church, today is observed as Ascension Sunday. A less observed Christian holy day, possibly, but really should rank right up there with Christmas and Easter. Eugene Peterson once said that Ascension Day is the perfect church holiday because the world can't steal it like it has done with Christmas and Easter. Peterson tells of his teen years when he played in the high school band for the town Christmas parade at which Santa Claus was flown in by helicopter. And later, Peterson says, "I heard that they flew the Easter bunny in as well." But he says, "The world hasn't got the foggiest notion what to do with someone flying out." Luke says, as the disciples were watching Jesus ascend into the clouds, two white-robed men stood among them, asked them a simple question. "Why are you standing here staring into heaven?" Now, I can imagine them experience a sense of awe and a being kind of dumbfounded with the sight they had just seen, trying to take it all in. But then there is this call to reality. "Why are you just standing here? He'll be back just as you saw him go. But now he's giving you a job to do." For those first century followers of Jesus who had lived with him on earth, he was physically leaving them. And they now had to learn how to live as his disciples in his absence. For the next 10 days, those who had witnessed Jesus' ascension gathered in that upper room where the scripture says they were constantly devoting themselves to prayer. And during this time, they were being prepared for the arrival of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. For the disciples, what happened in those 10 days was extremely important. And I can imagine that interspersed with all of that praying was a lot of talking, a lot of working through what had happened and what they had experienced since they had arrived in Jerusalem 40 plus days ago. During those days following Jesus' ascension, they became thoroughly convinced of Jesus' resurrection. They were convinced that Jesus lived, that Jesus was in their midst. In the closing verse of his gospel, Luke says that the disciples returned to Jerusalem filled with great joy. In spite of seeing Jesus ascend into heaven, they knew he had never left them. This conviction that Jesus was alive and present with them was the key to the boldness that took them into all the world. It was also during this time they became convinced that Jesus was not through with them. In this interim time between Jesus' resurrection and the day of Pentecost, the disciples were immersed in fellowship and prayer. And as they reflected on their experience of having walked with Jesus and having been witnesses to his resurrection, they came to the realization that they were only at the beginning of their adventure with Jesus. Through this time of fellowship and prayer, they were being strengthened by one another. What they had experienced in life with Jesus was nothing compared to the bond that would be forged by the Spirit as they waited, prayed, and reflected on those events of the past 40 plus days. Jesus' church was beginning to be formed. During this time, they learned the discipline of waiting. It wasn't wasted time. It was time spent in prayer, study, and fellowship. An important lesson here, I think, is this. They were not waiting for God to get ready for the big day coming. Rather, they were waiting for God to get them ready for the big day coming, for that Pentecost power to rock their lives and the world around them. And that's true for us as well. The promise is that Jesus will return, but for us, as it was for them, the more important question is, what does Jesus' physical absence mean for us Christians today? Jesus' ascension was not the end of the story, but rather the beginning of a new chapter in the story of God's plan to redeem his creation, a plan that could not move forward until Jesus had moved on. In Acts 2, filled with the promised Holy Spirit, Peter proclaims Jesus' ascension has taken him to the right hand of God, not a location, but a status. Jesus has received power and authority. And Paul's prayer to the Ephesians, it's a prayer of praise for God's majesty, for God who put his power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him as his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named. He has put everything under his feet and has made him head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. God has made Christ the King, and no other power on this earth is sovereign or deserves our ultimate obedience. By the grace of God revealed to us through Jesus' resurrection and ascension to God's right hand, we receive a spirit of wisdom and revelation as we come to know him as Lord of our lives. We know we inhabit a broken and disfigured world, but we also know Christ Jesus occupies his heavenly throne now, and that in spite of all we experience in this life, we are not helpless victims of this broken world. We are part of the very body of the one who sits enthroned, the one who is above every name. If we think of his ascension as the removal of Jesus from our daily experience, then we've missed the point. God has given him authority over all creation. His ascension doesn't take Jesus out of the game until the end of all things. His ascension doesn't mean the end of his ministry. It doesn't mean his absence. It doesn't mean God has given up on humanity. In fact, it means quite the opposite. Jesus continues to be with us as he was with the disciples. As it was for his disciples, Jesus is not through with us. As part of Christ's church, we also have fellowship with one another and can be strengthened for our mission through prayer, study, and fellowship together. Like the disciples, we also need to learn the discipline of waiting. Ours is not a culture that's used to waiting. But the Bible consistently tells us that it is in waiting that we most clearly come to understand who we are and what God can do through us and with us. Time waiting is not wasted time. It is preparation time. And I absolutely believe that God is using this time we are in right now to prepare Christ's church for even greater works in the days to come. Like the disciples, we must be open to the Spirit's work in our lives. We might not have all of our questions answered, but it's not more knowledge that we need. Rather, more power and more commitment to whatever Jesus wants to do in our lives. God is not through with us yet. Former U.S. Senate chaplain Richard Halverson once said, "In the beginning, the church was a fellowship of men and women who centered their lives on the living Christ. They had a personal and vital relationship with the Lord. It transformed them and the world around them. Then the church moved to Greece, and it became a philosophy. Later it moved to Rome, and it became an institution. Next it moved to Europe, and became a culture. Finally it moved to America, and it became an enterprise. We've got far too many churches, and so few fellowships." I think Halverson is speaking some real truth about the state of the church today. There are indeed too many institutions that go by the name church, and these institutions have become a culture within the larger culture. And in many ways, here in America, the church has become an enterprise with Christian radio, Christian TV, Christian publishing, and so on. And one needs to wonder, what happened to the church that was transforming the world? Where are the followers of Jesus who are turning the world upside down, as was said of those first century Christians? If we're honest, we don't need to look any further than these four walls to see that the church has lost much of its influence in the world today and is no longer turning the world upside down. Rather, the opposite seems to be true, that the world is turning the church upside down. So as we look at this congregation's history and story, we see a pattern of growth and then decline, and that's not just in numbers. I think we all know this congregation has some issues that need to be addressed. Things that are not unique to us, but are facing churches all across America and the Western world. This past winter, I was having some ear pain. I took some medication to relieve the pain, but that was all it was treating, just the pain. It was only after I went to the doctor and found out I had infections in both ears, and he treated the infections with an antibiotic, that I got rid of the pain. I had to get to the root cause before I could get relief from the symptoms. My sense is that there are issues deeper than worship, church structure, numbers, budgets, and buildings that we need to be concerned about in the church today. And one of those is being the rediscovery of what it means to be a Christian community. Revival of the church must always involve a revival of the community life within the church. Revival of the church comes when the church, the body of believers, discovers or rediscovers its purpose and mission. So I think the lesson for the church for Ascension Sunday is about the danger of looking high when Jesus wants us to look low. in the church today, especially in the evangelical church, there's much heaven gazing when what Jesus wants for us is to look low to the people he has come to redeem. While Jesus promised we will be with him in his kingdom, we maybe have given too much attention to getting to heaven and not enough attention to being his disciples on earth and in the here and now. One day, Jesus was in the synagogue in his hometown of Nazareth. He opened the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, and he read these words to announce his mission and God's kingdom's arrival in the world. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then he told them, today the scripture had been fulfilled in their hearing. In John 20:21, Jesus says, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." He's passing the baton on to us. And while we may long for heaven, our mission is here on earth. The same mission that Jesus gave his disciples is our mission today. In Jesus' ascension, we find confirmation of who he is, the Lord of all creation. We find out who we are called to be, his witnesses. And we find out why we are to be, in other words, our purpose, to go and tell. So on this Ascension Sunday, we do well to think about what Jesus' ascension and his physical absence means for Christians today. So let me suggest a few. First, Jesus' absence in body, but presence in spirit, calls us to take seriously the church as the body of Christ. The church is the body of Christ. That is something we often say without really maybe thinking about what it really means, that the church is Christ's physical presence in the world today. And if the church is Jesus' physical presence in the world, then we need to give to the church the devotion and the respect that Christ also deserves. If Jesus was standing here among us today, it's easy to think about how we would respond, most likely with all the love and the devotion that we could humanly offer him. But how often do we treat his body, the church, his physical presence in the world today, as just another organization, another place we have to go, another thing we have to do? You know, there are lots of good community organizations that do a lot of good work, but the church is so much more. It's Christ's body. It's Jesus in the world today. And its mission is the same as the mission Jesus gave to his disciples, to go into all the world and make more disciples. The love we have for the church is to be the same love that we have for Jesus. So on this Ascension Sunday, we are called to consider our devotion to the church as the physical body of Christ in the world today. Although the risen Jesus is not physically among us, his body, the church, is very much here. And the way we treat the church and one another is the way we treat Jesus. And the level of devotion we give to the church is the level of devotion we offer to Jesus. Second, Jesus' absence in body, but presence in spirit, reminds us that we are each individually a part of Christ's body. And to honor the church as we honor Jesus is to remember that we are each a part of his body. And when we neglect our part in the church, Christ's body, we disable part of the body of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul reminds us that we are the arms, the legs, the eyes, the ears. We are collectively Christ's body present in the world. And each of us has been gifted by God to be an important part of Christ's body. And without our faithfulness to our role in the church, the mission of the body of Christ is hindered. Third, Jesus' absence in body but presence in spirit reminds us that if Jesus' work is to continue, it is up to us to do it. Next Sunday, as I said, is Pentecost Sunday, when we celebrate the empowerment of the church at the coming of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is no longer here to feed the hungry, to heal the sick, to touch the outcasts on the fringes of human society. It's up to us to continue his work. If the church fails to be the body of Christ in the world, then Jesus is truly absent. He is nowhere to be seen. Although we don't, as brethren, often observe Ascension Sunday, it really is a most important day. It is a critical day in our understanding of who Jesus is, the King, the Sovereign of heaven and earth. It's critical to our understanding of who we are as the church, Christ's body in the world today. It's critical to our understanding of what we are to be about as the church in the world today. We are the body of Christ. We are the manifestation of the kingdom of God in the world today. The kingdom of God is not some obscure idea irrelevant to our lives. The kingdom right now is the church. The kingdom is not yet here in its fullness, but is experienced right now in this body, the church. Those who saw Jesus ascend, those he commissioned to go to the ends of the earth, were human beings just like us, with all the gifts the Spirit had given and with all their human limitations. The church, the body of Christ, the kingdom of God in the world today, is a human community with all the limitations of our humanness, but it's empowered by the same Spirit who empowered those first disciples. Like them, we are a community of the called, the physical representation of the kingdom of God in the world, called to bring the good news of the gospel to Myerstown, Lebanon, Palmyra, to Pennsylvania, and to the ends of the earth in 2020. We have been given an old, old story which is made real in our lives and becomes our story. We've been given a story to tell of God's love in Christ Jesus. We are the church, Christ's body. The church is nothing other than the community within which and through which God's kingdom is coming into being in the world today. Our vision and our ministry is that which we proclaim every time we pray the Lord's Prayer, that God's kingdom will come on earth as it is in heaven. The community we know as the church is God's plan A, and there is no plan B. In the beginning, the church was a fellowship of men and women who centered their lives on the living Christ. They had a personal and vital relationship with the Lord. It transformed them and the world around them. The church today is no different. The church today is to be a fellowship, a community of men and women, of youth and children who center their lives on the living Christ. A community of people who have a personal and vital relationship with the Lord and with one another. A community being transformed from within and then going out and turning the world upside down with the life-changing gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The church is the community within which and through which God's kingdom is coming into being. So let us not be found straining our necks looking high when Jesus asks us to look low at the people he's come to redeem. It is not for us to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority for Jesus' return and the fullness of his kingdom. But we have received power when the Holy Spirit came upon us. And we are Jesus' witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and in Myerstown and Lebanon and Palmyra and to the ends of the earth. Because Jesus died and rose again, because Jesus ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, God has given us a spirit of wisdom and revelation as we come to know him, so that with the eyes of our hearts enlightened, we may know what is the hope to which he has called us, which are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for we who believe, according to the working of his power. We who live in Christ need to live with a sense of destiny. For those who know Christ, there is both purpose and expectation in the world. Faithful believers, those saints, as Paul calls them, glimpse with expectant eyes to the future hope which is ours in our Christian calling. And more, we gain a vision for the wonderful inheritance that is ours in Christ. Even now, we can experience a foretaste of the power of God in our lives, that same power that was present in the resurrection and ascension of Jesus. The God of our Lord Jesus Christ has made this same Jesus who is seated at God's right hand, has filled him with power and authority, and has made him the Lord of the church, so that the body of Christ, us, might experience the powerful presence, the fullness of God in our midst, that we might go and tell. To God be the glory. Great things he has done. Would you pray with me? Go back to Jerusalem and wait, Jesus said to his disciples. Lord, we're not good at waiting for anything. We want to know what to do right now, right here. We want the plan all laid out for us so we can see what the end result should be. We have some real control issues to overcome, Father. So take our spirits and release the need for control. Help us place our total trust in your abiding love and presence. Give us patience and persistence in our ministries and mission. And now, in a moment of silence, we bring to you the names of dear ones, some of your saints, whose lives are in need of your healing, mercy, and comfort. Hear our silent prayers. Lord, remind us that we also stand in need of those same mercies. Give us courage to accept your love and the strength to witness to your love in all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Yeah. in love.